Has to be something. Were there other visitors there? Only tribal. No foreigners? Only us. It has to be something that makes him look compromised, or weak, or deviant. Was he healthy?
He seemed to be.
So what else? Deviant from their laws, or deviant like we mean it? Al-Qaeda headquarters, where the men are men and the goats are scared.
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. We were tired. We had just walked 100 miles through the front lines.
Sansom had gone quiet, like I knew he would. Eventually, he said,
"This is a real bitch."
I said, "I know it is.
I'm gonna have to make a big decision."
"I know you are.
If that picture hurts him more than it hurts me, I'm gonna have to release it."
"No. If it hurts him at all, even a little bit, you're gonna have to release it. And then you're gonna have to suck it up and face the consequences."
"Where is it?"
I didn't answer.
"Okay. I have to watch your back.
But I know what you know, and you figured it out, which means I can figure it out. But slower, because it ain't rocket science. Which means the Hoths can figure it out, too.
Are they gonna be slower?"
"Maybe not. Maybe they're picking it up right now."
"Yes," I said, "maybe they are.
And if they're going to suppress it, maybe I should just go ahead and let them. If they're going to suppress it, that means it's a valuable weapon that could be used against them."
Sansom said nothing.
"Remember Officer Candidate School? Something about all enemies, foreign and domestic?"
"We take the same oath in Congress."
"So should you let the Hoths suppress the picture?"
He was quiet for a very long time. Then he spoke.
"Go. Go get the Hoths before they get the picture." I didn't go. Not right then. Not immediately. I had things to think about and plans to make and deficiencies to overcome. I wasn't equipped. I was wearing rubber gardening clogs and blue pants. I was unarmed. None of those things was good. I wanted to go in the dead of night, properly dressed in black, with proper shoes and weapons. The more the merrier. The outfit would be easy. The weapons, not so much. New York City is not the best place on the planet to get hold of a private arsenal at the drop of a hat. There were probably places in the outer boroughs selling overpriced junk under the counter. But there were places in the outer boroughs selling used cars, too, and fastidious drivers were well advised to stay away from them. Problem. I looked at Sansom and said, "You can't actively help me, right?" He said,
"No."
I looked at Springfield and said, "I'm heading out to a clothing store now. I figure on getting black pants and a black t-shirt and black shoes, with a black windbreaker. Maybe triple XL, kind of baggy. What do you think?"
Springfield said, "We don't care. We'll be gone when you get back."
I went to the store on Broadway where I bought the khaki shirt prior to Elspeth Sansom's visit. It was doing a little business and had plenty of items in stock. I found everything I needed there, apart from socks and shoes. Black jeans, plain black t-shirt, and a black cotton zip-up windbreaker, made for a guy with a much bigger gut than mine. I tried it on, and as expected, it fit okay in the arms and the shoulders, and ballooned way out in front like a maternity smock. Perfect, if Springfield had taken the hint. I dressed in the changing cubicle, and trashed my old stuff and paid the clerk $59. Then I took her recommendation and moved on 3 blocks to a shoe store. I bought a pair of sturdy black lace-ups and a pair of black socks.
close to $100. I heard my mother's voice in my head from long ago. At a price like that, you better make them last. Don't scuff them up. I stepped out of the store and stamped down on the sidewalk a couple of times to settle the fit. I stopped in at a drugstore and bought a pair of generic white boxers. I figured that since everything else was new, I should complete the ensemble. Then I started back to the hotel. Three paces later, the phone in my pocket started to vibrate. Chapter 70. I backed up against a building on the corner of 55th Street and pulled the phone out of my pocket. Restricted call. I opened the phone and raised it to my ear. Lila Hoth said,
"Reacher?"
I said, "Yes."
"I'm still standing out in the road. I'm still waiting for the truck to hit me."
"It's coming."
"But when will it arrive?"
"You can sweat a spell. I'll be with you inside a couple of days."
"I can't wait."
"I know where you are."
"Good. That will simplify things."
"And I know where the memory stick is, too."
"Again, good. We'll keep you alive long enough for you to tell us. And then maybe a few more hours, just for the fun of it."
"You're a babe in the woods, Lila. You should have stayed home and tended your goats. You're going to die, and that photograph is going all around the world."
"We have a fresh blank DVD. The camera is charged up and ready for your starring role."
"You talk too much, Lila." She didn't answer. I closed the phone and headed back through the gathering evening darkness to the hotel. I went up in the elevator and unlocked my room and sat down on the bed to wait. I waited for a long time, close to 4 hours. I thought I was waiting for Springfield, but in the end it was Theresa Lee who showed up. She knocked on the door 8 minutes before midnight. I did the thing with the chain and the mirror again and let her in. She was dressed in a version of the first outfit I had ever seen her in, pants and a silk short-sleeve shirt, untucked, dark gray, not mid-gray, less silvery, more serious. She was carrying a black gymnasium bag, ballistic nylon. The way it hung from her hand, I guessed it held heavy items. The way the heavy items moved and clinked, I guessed they were made of metal. She put the bag on the floor near the bathroom and asked,
"Are you okay?"